Let's dig a little deep on this one. There's an interesting reaction I have in a luckily not frequent situation that whenever I rediscover I do, it makes me think about larger and more meaningful things. Here's how it works. Naturally, as a person who is constantly moving things around, doing a lot of traveling, and having a somewhat cavalier attitude about where I'm standing when certain things are happening, I sometimes narrowly miss major injury, or maybe even permanent injury. And at the time, something kicks in with me where I focus on the situation at hand. I get myself out of it, I move away from it, I take care of whatever the injury is, and that's it. But anywhere between 30 minutes and maybe a few hours or days, it's like my brain took a whole other realm of thinking, had put it into a box, and then, realizing what it had done, brings it back out again, fresh, anew. And what those thoughts are, those pushed-away reactions, are a realization of the ramifications of what was to happen if I was actually seriously injured or killed by whatever happened to happen. And when that realization, that recovery of that memory comes back, it expands, it flowers, it moves beyond just the actual results into all of the ramifications of what would happen were I to lose some level of functionality or ability or even life. I can't be the only one, so let's do what was happening anyway and commiserate together. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Jeff Atwood, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Sometimes it's when I come back to an area I had been piling things up on and realizing that something had fallen from a full height to where I was standing. Other times, it's realizing that a bunch of glass broke, and if I had moved improperly, I would have grabbed it, been stabbed by it, or in some way been injured by all of this broken glass. Still other times, it's been car accidents, near misses, strange turns that I'm able to get myself out of, and even cases where I see something happening down the road and have the presence of mind to get myself out of it while watching others go directly into it. Either way, the situation is the same. I'm lucky enough to focus on the now, have situational awareness, and get myself out of or away from danger. But then time happens, and sometimes afterwards I realize what would have happened had I grabbed glass the wrong way or turned the car in a direction it shouldn't have, if I'd slipped and fallen or hit my head on something. What would happen next? And what's most troubling, most consuming in my mind, is watching layer after layer of the results of what I do and what projects it affects. People know where my things are. I've been putting a lot of what was under my watch under the Internet Archive's watch. I've got a warehouse or two that has materials I store there. I'm down to one storage unit with materials that can be transferred back to the Internet Archive or gone through by trusted friends. A myriad amount of possessions that could easily be divested, gifted, sold. Nothing that would be a real tragedy if it fell back into public usage or discard. But then there's other lines. Conversations I've left uncompleted, people I haven't talked to in a while, projects and promises, goals and plans, the idea of them being curtailed because I couldn't move or speak or be able to interact with them or not be around to, followed by what the loss of those projects may mean to others. Well, it can be troubling. And worst of all, I work it over. like an everlasting gobstopper. I just keep coming back to it. What does it mean when this is gone or I lose this? What happens if I can't talk, if I can't walk, if I'm missing fingers or take a grievous injury that takes weeks or months to recover from? What does that do to people who know me, who depend on me, who think of me, and maybe just like me? What does it do to all of that interconnected matrix of people and friends and family if I'm suddenly not where I was? I've watched this from the outside. I've watched as people who I know, who I care about, are suddenly gone, and watching that hole begin to heal itself, and a whole range of goals and ideas and future plans disappearing, replaced with memories, testimonials, and wishes that the person was still here. I know that there's a very good chance that's coming for me in some way. So, for whatever reason, I experience a kind of panic. Not a panic about all these things that might be happening, but panic about that moment. Like I'm almost unstuck in time, and that if I look back at that moment in the timeline, it may change out from under me. I had a car accident a number of years ago where a pole across the road smashed into the top part of the car. And as luck would have it, in that moment, the construction of my car meant that the pole didn't make it through the windshield and bounced off along with the rest of the car. If for whatever reason, if at whatever speed or angle that had been different, I would have been gone. Unquestionably injured beyond repair. And every once in a while, I have that moment when I realize that then, that period of time in 2020 may have been the end of the line. What it would have meant for people, what it would have meant for the things I cared about, for the people I care about, and how they would have recovered. For no particular show of logic and meaning, I continue to interrogate, I continue to contemplate this, and even more strangely, try to repair it. I try to imagine what wouldn't have been good to leave hanging if I was gone, and then refocus my efforts to consolidate, to dispel, to shut down, to take off other people's plates things that are sitting on mine. As a result, I have a lot less than I used to. I have quite a few things, to be sure, a lot of promised projects and piles of discs and printouts and VHS tapes that need some sort of digitizing, along with a range of mementos and memories probably only meaningful to me. But I've been reducing them. My focus as a result of that accident was to ratchet up my efforts to divest myself of unexplained mysteries that need my attention and my secret key to make work. A person looking at some sort of tourist memento that has a special memory for me, well, they can discard them and there's no problem. But if I know that a certain tape is the only one of its kind or a printout represents the only known specimen of a piece of history, I've been endeavoring to not only digitize it but mark what it is and send it out for permanent storage. I've allowed this problem, which is either a phobia, a natural healing reaction, or something I don't have a name for, to be productive, to be an initiator of priority, to shake me back into realizing that time is finite, my energy isn't always going to be here, and that in a world that's shifting constantly, the one constant that I can keep track of is I collect history and I want to share it with the world. With each near miss comes a memory of everything that led up to that mistake, that unexpected event, that set of personal decisions that put me in harm's way or made me susceptible to bad luck and bad options. Stacking things too high, driving too late at night, letting myself stay up way past a tiring moment to try to get something done before the next day. It's all about mitigating these poor decisions enough that when that moment comes, when that risk rains down on me or my hand goes to a place from which injury could result, I'm at least less likely to have it surprise me. I don't know if this is a lesson that people need to know, or if only a small number of people who hear what I say can share the thoughts of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a realization of a limited amount of energy and opportunity that is provided to us, that in some ways we can extend, and in others we have no control over at all, that around every corner, every moment, with each new day, the interlocking set of systems and promises and assumptions that we use to stay alive and stay productive could lose incredibly vital variables. The end, not just of all things, but of something important to you, is always looming. Maybe this extends from working with archive team and activism involving the end of projects, the falling down of promises, leaving only a rapidly receding wave of hype and people's content, and what archive team does to at least rescue some wisp of a memory of those things. Maybe soaking in that for years made me aware of how fragile, how momentary everything is. And while I do have these strange little breakdowns, these odd little moments where I'm gathering up potentialities of danger and loss and misery, I like to think that I'm also building in me a savoring of the moment of standing in front of a microphone to speak to waiting people, to talk to folks who matter to me, who have ideas, who I learn from as much as I teach, to take each one of those precious, unique minutes, those times on the phone, those times over the computer, the times walking in a city, strange or not, and interacting, and understanding that almost all of it is a shaky chain of promises and hopes, of assumed links and assumed anchorings that we can't quite verify, other than having it not fail. If I'm lucky, this feeling, this tornado of panic, gets rid of itself pretty quickly. Anywhere between a couple hours and a couple days, I stop thinking obsessively about contingencies and backup plans and who owns what and what goes where, and I go back to just living, to enjoying myself, to being interested and heartfelt and sarcastic, laughing and crying as needed, in the way that the world presents us with a buffet of opportunity, of entertainment, and of, in a much more manageable form, the spice of the unpredictable. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Josiah Lusher, James Bakoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Emilio Oliveira, Michael Rubin, Ernie Hershey, Craig Talbert, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Eugene, John Sturm, Trixie the Cat, Sembiance, Martin, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. One of my big remainders of debt was that for a while I was running 3 storage units, just because of a variety of factors involving a broken elevator, having some health problems, and generally not getting my act together. But while I'm recording this, I am down to 1 storage unit. 1 storage unit that I pay for, and a couple others that are off of my recurring costs. My dragons now are these recurring costs. As I go through my bank account, finding any place that I spend too much money, that I make financial mistakes, or don't know that I'm being charged on a yearly basis for a decision years ago, I'll vanquish these dragons. Having just one place to work from, to start sorting through all these materials, well, that's a joy. That is something that is my near future primary goal. It's going to be, I hope, yet another new and exciting phase.